Twitchell's Book 1, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 2, The House and the College. The difference between the modern part of the school building and the older, more castly side was stark. They turned off the main corridor, and the gleaming, polished floors and spotless white walls were replaced with worn carpet tiles and fading plaster. While they walked, the inspector gave a running commentary of what was down each corridor and behind each door they passed. It seemed that most of it was admin offices and storage rooms and old, unused classrooms. Deep into the castle were the dormitories, separated into male and female wings, each at either end of a long corridor dimly lit by flickering old fluorescent tubes. After a right turn to the male wing and a short flight of stairs, there was a hallway of fourth-year boys' rooms. The inspector knocked on the door of room number 8, and after receiving no answer, he turned the handle, calling out, "Morning!" while slowly opening the door. "He must be down at breakfast already," the inspector said as he stepped inside. "He? Who is he?" Nick carried his two bags into the room. Hogwarts this was not. There were two single beds on opposite sides of the room, two desks, two wardrobes, and two chests of drawers. There was a window. The plain beige curtains were mostly open, revealing metal bars on the outside. Like a prison cell, but with no TV. The bed furthest from the window had a crumpled duvet half hanging onto the floor. The other bed, under the window, had about 20 neat piles of clothes laid out on it. "Ah, yes, he's up already, good man. And your uniform's all here for you. Everything should be the right size. Once you've changed, head to the dining hall and I'll meet you there. Go back the way we came and turn right when you get to the college." "College?" The inspector paused for a moment. "I'm sure one of the other students will give you a tour later. The college is the newer part of the building. Right now we're in the house."
"Not the castle?"
"Castle? Oh no. This is an old stately home, completed sometime in the 1700s. Used to belong to the Duke of something or other until he started playing for the wrong side and lost his head. But that's ancient history. The house has been home to one of the top schools in the world for over 300 years. The room didn't feel like it was hundreds of years old. The desks looked like they were from IKEA. "I'll leave you to get changed into daywear. See you shortly." The inspector turned to leave, then added, "Don't forget to keep your ID badge with you at all times. You won't be able to get back in here or anywhere else without it." With that, he left the room. Sharing a room? No one had said anything about sharing a room. Nick had never shared a room with anyone, let alone a stranger in a castle. No, not a castle, the house. The house and the college. First things first, Nick opened his rucksack and pulled out his phone. It was in flight mode to save on data. He didn't have a contract and his last data top-up had been over a week ago. He needed to send a message to his granddad to let him know he wouldn't be meeting him after school today, or any other day while he was stuck at Twitchell's. The message didn't take long to type. He wrote one for his mum too, letting her know that he'd arrived safely and that he was sharing a room. The phone had no reception, which made sense. Nick figured he was miles from the nearest town. More surprising, though, was that he couldn't find any Wi-Fi networks to connect to. No student network was one thing. No guest or private networks, though? That was weird. He'd never been anywhere where there wasn't any Wi-Fi nearby. Must be the thick old walls blocking the signal. He put his phone on the pillow and checked out the school uniform. The piles were organized into three distinct groupings, with three handwritten paper sheets on top. The biggest group was daywear, and then came games, and then formal. Nick picked through the daywear and identified several pairs of black trousers,
white shirts, some kind of grey jacket thing, another smaller black jacket with no arms, a couple of dark blue ties, and a dark grey blanket. He held up the blanket and let it unfold until it nearly touched the floor. It was not a blanket. It was a cape with a hood. A cape? Who wears a cape? He dumped the cape back on the bed and changed into the trousers and shirt and pulled on the jacket. It all fit him perfectly, better than his St. Mark's uniform of tight trousers and a wrinkled light blue polo shirt. There were some pairs of shoes on the floor at the end of the bed. He picked up a pair of nice-looking trainers, thought about wearing them, and then thought better of it and chose a pair of shiny black shoes that matched the trousers and jacket. Lastly, he picked up one of the ties. It was silky and soft and shimmered in the light. There were fine golden threads subtly stitched into a diamond pattern on the fat end. Nick had no idea how to put a tie on, so he stuffed it into a jacket pocket, put his phone in another, pulled his rucksack on, and left the room. He stopped himself just before the door swung shut and went back in to put his ID badge back on. The soles of the new shoes were made of something hard and smooth, and he twisted his feet on the carpet as he walked back the way he'd come. When he left the shabbiness of the house and stepped into the college, his shoes clicked loudly on the tiled floor. He clicked to the right and kept clicking along, unsure exactly where he was going. The wall on his left soon became glass, revealing a large lawn with some fancy-shaped hedges and a massive old tree which had some picnic benches under it. A couple of students were sitting at one of the benches. To Nick's surprise, they were both wearing the capes. Another cape student was walking across the grass toward the school. They entered the corridor a little way ahead of Nick and cut across it through a set of double doors on the right. Those double doors led into the dining hall. Apart from the fact it was filled with students eating, it was nothing like St. Mark's canteen. More like a banqueting hall. It was filled with circular tables covered with crisp white tablecloths and laid out with silver cutlery and plates and glasses. There was room for at least 500 people, but it was not quite half full. Nick looked around for any sign of the inspector.
"Free seating today."
Nick hadn't noticed the diminutive woman standing near the door, because she was partially hidden behind a plain wooden lectern that came all the way up to her shoulders. She stepped out to the side and swept her arm out in the direction of the tables.
"You can sit anywhere. There's no seating plan."
Her voice was decidedly less posh than the inspector or the receptionist. Nick glanced around again for the inspector.
"This your first day?"
She slid back behind the lectern and ran a finger down the page of a big black-bound book that lay open on the top.
"I can tell. First, you're not wearing a tie. That's a dead giveaway. Second, you got no gown on. Another telltale sign. And third, I never seen you before."
"Yes," Nick nodded.
"Yes?"
"It's my first day."
"I already told you, I knew that. I'm Margaret, the maitre d'. I'm in charge of Twitchell's dining hall."
She jerked a thumb over her shoulder and pointed at the tables behind her.
"I've spent the best part of 4 decades stopping students rushing in and sitting where they shouldn't. I can see I'm not going to have that problem with you."
Nick leaned over to look at the book on top of the lectern. Quick as a flash, Margaret slipped her hand under the heavy cover and flipped it over. It slapped shut with a satisfying snap.
"I'm meeting the inspector," Nick said. "I'm sure he'll be along shortly. You may as well eat while you wait. Choose a seat, take your plate to the counters, and don't pile too much food on. You can always go back for more if you finish."
Nick didn't move.
"Go on. I don't want a queue forming behind you and blocking up the corridor."
Nick looked behind him. There was no one there.
"Don't get cheeky with me," Margaret scolded. "Just go and sit down."
He walked past her and sat at the nearest unoccupied table. The hall, like the rest of the college, was modern and new, but its walls were covered with big old paintings, like in a museum. The paintings had antique-looking gold frames and were mostly portraits of old men. The ceiling was high and painted white, with no stains or chewing gum or battle scars picked up during active dinner duty. A real contrast to the tatty, food-splattered polystyrene tiles at St. Mark's. But no sign of any Wi-Fi hardware. Nick reached into a jacket pocket for his phone.
Nah-uh,
Margaret appeared next to him. Standing up, she was about as tall as he was sitting down.
No phones in the college. It's a rule. I can't enforce the rule, mind. I'm just letting you know. If you do get caught, that phone will be locked away till the end of the year.
Nick put his phone back in his pocket with a sigh. Finally, something that St. Mark's and Twitchell's had in common. No phones allowed.
Why don't you take your plate and go fill it up? There's all kinds of food. Eggs, bacon, toast, fruit, you name it. Just don't pile too much on. I don't want any sausages rolling off onto the floor and making a mess.
He looked at the food counters. He could normally make it to lunch without eating. But the early start and car journey, not to mention the delicious smells drifting over from the counter, seemed to have amplified his hunger.
Go on, Margaret said. You look famished.
Nick looked around at the other tables. No one was paying any attention to them.
I don't have any money.
Money?
For the food. I'm free school meals, and well, that doesn't include breakfast. And anyway, I don't think it transfers to a place like this.
Another dead giveaway, Margaret said, shaking her head.
Of what?
That you're new.
All food's included at Twitchell's. It ought to be with what it costs to come here. She picked up a plate and pushed it gently into Nick's chest.
Go and fill that up. If the inspector comes in, I'll tell him where you're sitting.
Nick took the plate gratefully. No Wi-Fi, but free food? Maybe Twitchell's wasn't as bad as it first seemed. Halfway through his second bacon sandwich, the inspector sat down next to Nick. Gowns and ties must be worn at all times during the day, except for during games, when you must wear your sports kit. Formal wear is only worn on special occasions. Nick went to take another bite, then paused.
We don't have ties and gowns at my school.
Your old school. Twitchell's is a little different, I agree. But the rules must be followed. Think of it as a challenge to remember all of the rules each day. There's a lot for you to learn, but it will be worth it.
There's no Wi-Fi. He took another bite.
Not during the day, no. But they turn on student Wi-Fi in the common room between 8 and 9 p.m. You can connect then. Nick nearly spat bacon across the table.
1 hour?
Best not to speak with your mouth full. The inspector pushed a napkin toward Nick. You've got ketchup on your chin. Nick took the napkin and wiped his chin.
What about weekends?
No lessons on Saturdays or Sundays, but we expect you to do at least 2 hours of prep each day, and you'll still have access to the sports facilities and the library.
I meant Wi-Fi at the weekends.
Ah, same rule, I'm afraid. There's a paddock for horse riding and a field set up with archery targets. Plus, there's a bridleway that takes you to the local village.
I can't ride a horse.
Yet. There's plenty of time to learn.
Look, I've never even been near a real horse, and I'm not interested in bows and arrows. And I don't know how to tie a tie. I think all of this is some kind of mistake.
Nick took the tie out of his jacket pocket and put it next to his plate.
Why did you call my mum and send me here? I'm not any good in lessons. Well, apart from when we get to use computers. If you speak to anyone at St. Mark's, they'll tell you. Did you think of asking them?
Yes. I checked with St. Mark's. I know exactly how you've performed in every year since you were 4. Trust me, this isn't a mistake. It's a great opportunity. But I have to admit, none of the paperwork mentioned you couldn't tie a tie.
Nick stared at his empty plate. I think I want to go home.
That's a natural reaction to change. There's a lot to take in, and it won't be easy. But it will be worth it if you can stick it out, trust me. Give it a week and we'll talk again. We have a progress meeting scheduled for Friday.
And what about the crow? What's the stupid crow got to do with being sent here?
Not everyone at Twitchell's is here because they can afford it. The inspector spoke more quietly now. Most of the students are here because their families have the means to pay the fees, and they have the hope that this will give their children a head start in life. And it usually does. but some of the students are here because they have shown excellent promise, and we know that they will excel in the Twitchell's environment. It's a great honour to receive a scholarship to come here. But I didn't get a scholarship because I'm clever. I got one because of a bird. Are there other kids here because of that crow? Well, not because of that particular crow. The main thing to understand is that Twitchell's is an excellent school regardless of why or how you've come to be here. Scholarship students are just like any other students, albeit that you don't have the same financial backing. Who else is here because of that crow? Nick was looking around at the other tables in the dining hall. I'm not at liberty to divulge that information. And it's a rule here that everyone is treated the same. So I would advise you to forget about the crow from now on and just try to get on like everybody else. Except that he wasn't like everyone else. And there was only 1 hour of Wi-Fi a day, plus you had to wear gowns and ties. Even free bacon sandwiches couldn't make up for having to wear a stupid gown all day. And one last thing. I've made the decision to bump you up a year. You'll be a fourth year at Twitchell's. That's the same as year 10 at your old school. What? Nick couldn't believe it. I told you I'm bad at lessons, and I'm only 13. I'm not ready for year 10. You'll be fine. You had some catching up to do anyway. And with only 1 hour of Wi-Fi a day, I'm sure you'll catch up much quicker than you thought. Now, best to go and put your gown on before assembly in the Great Hall. The inspector got up from the table. Oh, one more thing. You might find this handy. He reached up to his own tie, held the knot between his fingers, and lifted it up. It came away from the collar without coming undone. Sometimes a clip-on is a necessary evil. You can have this one until you learn a four in hand or a half Windsor. If you need anything else, please ask any member of staff. He put the tie next to Nick's plate and stood up. I look forward to our meeting on Friday. Until then, good luck. And with that, the inspector walked briskly out of the hall. This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.